Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 36, Text Number 1, Translation and Commentary by Disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sri Badarayani Uvacha. Ata. Tarhi. Agataha,
Agataha
Goshtam,
Goshtam
Arishtaha,
Arishtaha
Rishabha,
Rishabha
Asuraha,
Asuraha
Mihim,
Maha,
Kakut,
Kakut
Kayaha,
Kayaha
Kampayan,
Kampayan
Kura,
Kura
Vikshattam,
Vikshattam
Sri Badarayani Ruvacha,
Sri Badarayani
Atatah yagato goshtam
Atatah yagato goshtam
Arishto vrishabhasuraha
Arishto vrishabhasuraha
Mahim mahakakutkaya
Mahim mahakakutkaya
Kampayan kuravikshatam
Kampayan kuravikshatam
Sri Badarayane uvacha Atatah yagato goshtam
Atatah yagato goshtam
Arishto vrishabha suraha
Arishto vrishabha suraha
Mahim maha kukutkaya
Mahim maha kukutkaya
Kampayan kura vikshatam
Kampayan kura vikshatam
Ladies, Badarayani Uvacha. Sri Shukdev Goswami said, Ata, next, Tarhi, then, Agataha, came, Goshtam, to the cowherd village, Arishtaha, named Arishta, Rishabha, Asuraha, the bull demon. Mahim, the earth. Maha, great. Kakut, having a hump. Kayaha, whose body. Kampayan, making tremble. Kura,
by his hooves. Vikshatam ton. Translation. Shukdev Goswami said, the demon Arishta then came to the cowherd village. Appearing in the form of a bull with a large hump, he made the earth tremble as he tore it apart with his hooves. Purport. According to the Sri Vishnu Purana, Arishtasura entered Krishna's village at twilight as the Lord prepared to dance with the gopis. Pradoshardh. That should probably be Pradosh, isn't it? Evening should be Pradosh. I'll make a note to send it to Dravida for one of those dreaded book changes. 10:36:1 Pradosh. Huh? No, that would be Pradosh. O and O. It's not pronounced the same. You see, they put in Bajo Bajo Bhai. They transcribed the Bengali song Paramakar. She Bajo Bajo Bhai. Oriya same, right? Anyway, we're getting a little tangentialized here. Pradosha Adhe Kadachitu Rasa Sakte Janadane Trasayan Samado Goshtam Arishta Samupagataha. Once midway through the period of dusk, when Lord Janardhan was eager to perform the Rasa dance, Arishtasura madly entered the cowherd village, terrifying everyone. Om Gyanatimirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtam Manamapi Shachiputramatra Swarupam Rupam Tasyagrajamurupurim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhava Shamprapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutang Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamstra Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the smiling face of the Lord. Krishna smiling as he's about to kill a demon. Prati shloke, prati akare nama, nana artakoi. Krishna tulla Bhagavat. Bibhu sharva shrai. Bhagavatam is none different from Krishna. Powerful, can give shelter to all. In every verse, in every syllable, there are so many different meanings. Now, you've been going through this 10th canto, and there are some devotees here who are well versed in the commentaries of the previous acharyas. So yesterday we had some nice churning, just like the gopis are churning and they're singing about Krishna. So yesterday we had Bhakti Gaurav Narayan Maharaj churning the nectar of Krishna Leela for us. And we had some quotes from Uddhav Sandesh heard via Radha Govinda Maharaj. So it's all very nectarine, and every word and every syllable has different meanings. So I'm wondering if any of you great scholars and pundits and devotees know if any of the commentators have said why Vyasadeva writes Sri Badarayani Uvacha here and not Sri Shuka Uvacha, as he usually does. Sometimes he says Badarayani. Anyone? No, don't happen to know. Maybe they didn't comment, because seeing as every shloka and every syllable has so many different meanings, you could, I mean, right on the first verse, you could spend your whole life on the first verse, right? First verse, the first word, Shri. And you get stuck right there with Radharani, right in the first syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'm going to hazard a speculation, if you like, that Vyasadeva is recounting how Shukdev has so nicely described Krishna Leela in the last chapter as the gopis singing of Krishna, and he's thinking, that's my son. Sri Badarayana, oh, it's my son. Whoa, he's so exalted. Oh, he himself is surprised. Vyasa veti na veti va. Shuka knows, but Vyasadeva, well, he knows also. How does he know? He heard from Shukadeva. These are all very, very high topics, especially we've just been hearing about the gopis singing for Krishna, about Krishna, absorbed in Krishna during the day. It specifically says in the day, we're reading at night, not at night because they join. But I was thinking, Yanisha Sarva Bhutanam, that this verse is applicable to Krishna Leela also. That the many of the inhabitants of Vrindavan are asleep at night. The elderly gopis and all the gopas, younger and older, and they have no idea what's going on at night with the younger gopis. So that, actually all the Bhagavad Gita verses we could understand in relation to Krishna Leela also. Sharanang Raja, yeah. The Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakta, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam, the previous chapter is just all Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakta, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam. It's all there. So we have here Krishna Leela, and it's very pleasant to discuss, especially Machita Madgata Prana in the association of devotees whose life air has gone to Krishna. It's very pleasing to discuss. They lost their lives. The gopis lost their lives because they're Madgata Prana, their life had gone to Krishna. That you were also saying yesterday, how Krishna left to Mathura and the gopis are in Vrindavan, but their mind is always with Krishna. So there are so many points to discuss. But why are we discussing this? Why in this big materialistic city of Mumbai, there's so many important things going on. Probably Dalal Street is closed today, probably, is it? Does it? It closes on Sunday, does it? Yeah. Only it's closed. And then what do all the Dalals do? They all sleep. They're all sleeping at this time of morning, probably, after an exhausting week, making more money and losing money, some of them. And it's a city means there's lots of trading and business and artha and karma, and not very much dharma, and definitely no moksha unless you come here. It's a materialistic city. We have here, or just outside IIT, studying science. And why are we discussing this Hindu mythology in an advanced city like Bombay? Hindu mythology, some stories. There was some boy, they believe, who used to pick up bulls by the horns and throw them away, but we know no one can do that. So it's just some stories for... It was good when people were less educated, and now we're very educated. We may think like that, but we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam, the Leela of Krishna, because this is reality. And everything else that goes on in this world, which seems very real, is not really real. It's yatha bhasa yatha tamaha. It's the reflection within the darkness. It appears to be real, but it has no substantial reality. It's not the vastavik satya. Vastavik means, sometimes it's translated as actual or real, but probably a most close translation would be substantial, because there's vastu, there's something there. Vasta, this is the real reality, and we are discussing this for the purpose of entering into that reality. It's not Harry Potter, right? They have Harry Potter. I was once on an airplane and I saw there was this big screen with all this silly things, people flying in the sky and witches. And I thought, why are adults watching this? And I didn't use the... And then I saw, you know, you see all the movies, right? That's your line. You didn't watch Harry Potter. So at the end it comes up, Harry Potter, and then I heard of Harry Potter. And well, yes, yang vapi smaran bhavam, you'll get that kind of thing. If you become fascinated with that kind of thing, you'll enter into something like that. But having heard Bhagavatam from Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas, we are convinced from the beginning, janmadya sayataha, from the very beginning, from the birth, from the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, that this is real reality that is established clearly in the beginning of Bhagavatam. And then we come to hear about the pastimes of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Srinvanti gayanti grananti abhikshna sasmaranti nandanti tavehi tangjanaha ta eva pasyancha achirena tavakam bhava pravaho paramang padam bhujam. Beautiful verse, isn't it? That by this, Krishna, one reason he comes to this world is to exhibit his pastimes so that others afterwards, just like now, what we're doing here, we are living the Bhagavatam. Because we're doing what Kunti Devi says, Srinvanti Gayanti Grani. If not abhikshnasa, if not at every moment, like the gopis in the previous chapter we heard, the gopis are constantly singing about Krishna. So we don't have that habit, but at least once a day in the morning we can come together and hear about Krishna, and that will help us smaranti, to remember. And naturally, it's blissful. And the result of doing so is that we get to see Krishna. We enter into that reality. And it doesn't take long. And this way, we escape from Bombay and everything else in the material world. We get out of all this bhava pravaha. One time we're born in Bombay, another time in Karachi, and another time in the hellish worlds, another time in the heavenly planets. We just go to Krishna. So this whole process, we see Krishna, hear about Krishna, chant the names of Krishna, take Krishna prasad, and we become Krishna-ized. So we're hearing about the reality of Krishna, this Vraja Leela is the topmost pastimes of the Supreme personality of Godhead. We just heard how the gopis are singing about Krishna, and now this chapter begins to discuss, introduces about the demon Arishta. Atatharyagato goshtam Arishta Rishabha. There's then, next thing, what's next? What's next? Parikshit Maharaj is eagerly listening. What's next? Then entered into the cowherd village of Rishabha, a bull. Well, that sounds pretty normal, right? It's a cowherd village, and a bull enters. Okay, it doesn't sound like something that would come in the newspapers. There was a village with cows and a bull entered. And especially not to be in the reported 5,000 years later. You study in the history books. What happened 5,000 years ago? 5,000 years ago, there are only savages running around, right? Yeah, sure. That's what they teach you. All right, let's go back 2,000 years. 2,000 years ago, people got a little bit intelligent in Greece. And they started inventing mathematics and trigonometry and things like that. So we heard the name of Socrates, but you don't hear the name of any Greek village boy who was looking after cows, or more likely sheep and goats in Greece, because it's a mountainous climate. They must have cows there also. So why are we discussing this bull who has entered? Well, it's not any ordinary bull. His name is Arishta. In India, the practice is to give names to the cows and bulls. Would you call any bull calf Arishta? Wait, I don't think so. Arishta means, anyone? Inauspicious, like a bad omen. Is Rishabha Asura. It's a bull who's a demon. And actually, some of them are like that. If you see bull, they can be very, very dangerous. They can very easily kill, even cows can, not to speak of bulls, but they can be very dangerous. I don't suppose you see too much of them in Mumbai, but especially in the West, you get these huge, huge bulls, and the ones they keep for stud bulls, and the idea of keeping what they call cattle in the West is that it's just for money, and they prod them with electrically charged sticks, and the bulls become very angry and very, very dangerous. And they want to kill because they know they're going to be killed. But this is actually a demon. It's not a bull per se, but it's a demon who has taken that form. These demons who are coming regularly to attack Krishna and to attack the land of Vrindavan, they're not any small demons. They're all very powerful demons. Their previous existence before becoming servants of Kamsa is narrated in Garga Sanhita, some of them about their previous lives and how Kamsa, all these demons, Arishta is going to be the last. We're coming to the end of Krishna Leela, Vraja Leela. Arishta is going to be the last before, well, he's not a demon. Akrura comes, but in the eyes of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, Akrura is worse than any demon. So Arishta is the last. So he's coming toward the end of the Vraja Leela. And Arishta, he's taken the form of a bull, which is very deceptive. One calf we had previously, the Vatsasura, took the form of a calf. It's very tricky because Krishna, he's known as Govinda, Gopala, and Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitayacha. He's especially favorable to the cows and the Brahmanas. In one place, Srila Prabhupada said, especially to the cows, even more than the Brahmanas. Krishna is very favorable. So how could Krishna kill a bull? A bull is not a cow, but same genre, species. How could Krishna do that? They might have thought that they got diplomatic immunity, the Vatsasura and the Arishtasura, by taking the form of a bull. But Krishna, in both cases, didn't have any hesitation in killing them. And later, although it's not recounted in Bhagavatam, as we know, this actually gave rise to the appearance of Radha Kund. So there's a very great pastime associated with this. But Krishna didn't have any hesitation in killing the demon in the form of a bull because he knows he's a demon. He's not really a bull. He's just pretending to get some advantage. But his real intention is sinful and demoniac. He wants to kill Krishna. He wants to disturb the land of Vrindavan. He's a demon and should be killed. Vinashayata dushkritam. Krishna comes to kill the demons. So Krishna, with no hesitation, killed this demon. We can take a lesson from this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given so many lessons concerning the demons who are killed by Krishna, especially in his Rajalila. And he says that Arishta represents the pride of those who follow non-Vedic principle, or in the name of religion, they are simply making a show. And they're very proud of making a show. Dharmadvaji, yeah. I'm very religious, waving a flag. I'm very religious. But they're not really religious. They have other motives. Just as we find that some demons can be very religious also. Jarasandha, it's mentioned. He was a highly religious kshatriya following the Vedic principles. He was worshipping Vishnu in the form of Shalagram Shila. But Vishnu himself, Krishna, he considered him an enemy. So he was a demon. Although he was externally very religious. Yajante nama yagya iste, in the description of the demons in 16th chapter of Gita, Krishna says, some of them they perform yagyas, but it's not for the sake of pleasing Yajnapati, Krishna, it's for their own purposes. We find Ravana was a great Vedic pundit. Indrajit was expert at performing yagyas, but he was doing black magic, abhicha. He was using it for bad purposes. So Krishna, he knows the difference. We might be confused. We might not know the difference. But Krishna knows the difference between those who are actually religious and those who are making a show to take some advantage. The symptom of the demons is they're always trying to act in this world and interact with others, to take advantage of them for their own what they mistakenly perceive to be their own personal advantage. That is the symptom of a demon. Sometimes demons can be they can be very deceptive. Up to the present time, they can be very polite, very nicely dressed. Jayadvaita Swami, he once gave an example of how a modern demon, the modern Hiranyakashipu, he's sitting in a nice suit in his office in the days when he had pick-up phones, and he picks up the phone, and he says to one of his servants, "Oh, hello there. Yes, we're having a little trouble with the boy Prahlad. Could you look after him?" "Yes, yes, you have understood. Thank you very much. I rely on you." And puts the phone down and smiles. Very nice demon. Very polite. They may even talk about human rights. "We're going to bomb you for the sake of, so you can have democracy and human rights." They may say like that. It's all done with a guise of altruism. But the aim is something different. So Krishna, he knows. And he had no hesitation in what to do. Krishna is a perfect judge of time, place, and circumstance. Who can be a perfect judge of time, place, and circumstance? Only someone who knows time, place, and circumstances fully from all perspectives and understands all the people involved. Krishna can do that because he's the antaryami in everyone's heart. He knows what everyone's thinking. He knows what their intentions are. Sarvata parinipadam tat sarvatokshi shiromukham. He sees everything from all angles, all perspectives. For a human, we should also try to be to see the time, the place, and the circumstance. But we can never exactly say what's going to happen. When we say something, we can never be sure how people are going to take it and react to it. Sometimes someone says something as a joke and the other person takes it seriously and a whole relationship is broken. Sometimes we've probably all had this experience. Someone says, "Oh, you looked at me in such and such a way, and I could understand that you were thinking." Really? I wasn't thinking that at all. So misunderstandings arise in human dealings, and especially in Kali Yuga. Because just, we were talking about stirring up the discussion of Krishna Katha, but Kali's business is always to stir up the pot of misunderstanding. Krishna knows exactly. And he understood in the case of Arishta that he was an out-and-out demon, and the best thing for all concerned is just to kill him. The best thing for Arishta also is just to kill him. We don't have that option. We might think, well, the best thing in this circumstance is if this person, you know, we tried talking to them, tried reasoning with them, they're completely unreasonable, they're causing so many problems, just kill them. But we don't have that option. That's for Krishna. And Krishna may delegate that killing to others also. Especially Krishna delegated killing of demons to Bhima and Arjuna. But in this Kali Yuga, if we try to kill, we will be killed. Prabhupada said that. If you kill, you will be killed. another reason why in Kali Yuga we don't attempt to kill all the demons is, well, we'd probably have to, at least in my case, I'd have to start with myself, and then there wouldn't be anyone left. There's hardly any. Who's saintly in this age? Who's actually saintly? It's very hard to find people who are actually saintly. And even we find many people who seem to be very good people, and they don't appear to have deep-rooted envy in their hearts, and they might want to be trying to do good for others, but they don't know what's right and what's wrong, and therefore they do so many ghastly things which they themselves don't think ghastly. And I'm especially thinking of the Western countries here, where you have people who, they're not overtly nasty to others, they're trying to be nice to each other, but they eat meat every day, and they don't think this is demoniac. Actually, it's demoniac, but they don't think like that. And even if they're informed that you're causing pain to so many beings, it's just their habit, and they can't get out of it. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is to kill all the demons by killing their demoniac mentality. And we are engaged in that mission. But Kali doesn't sleep. He doesn't say, okay, you came in the temple, you have tilak and mala on your throat, and okay, now you're exempt. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur warns us that there may be demoniac people deliberately in that dress. What is that? Galai, ah? Galai mala, nakai tilak, galai mala, eto ek kalia chela. Shonge ek pare bala. He has this kunti mala on his throat, tilak on his nose, and on his lap he has someone else's wife. This is called a kali chela. So it may be that people, even in the dress of Vaishnavas, can be demons. It's possible. Srila Prabhupada wrote that there are many materialistic persons in the guise of Vaishnavas. And what does that mean? That we go around and look at everyone. You're not really a Vaishnava. You must be a Kali Chela. They're all Kali Chelas, except me. But at the same time, we have to, well, it's a warning to us to discriminate, not to just take for granted that everyone who has tilak and kanti mala is actually very sincere about what they're doing. Of course, that's a very gross example that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives, that he looks like a Vaishnava, but he's hanging out with someone else's wife. But discrimination is required. We learn at the beginning of Bhagavatam, we're now in the 10th canto, we learn in the beginning of Bhagavatam that Bhagavatam is meant to help us distinguish reality from illusion. We're talking about the supreme reality, Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead. To come to the platform of understanding the reality of Krishna, we have to distinguish between spiritual and material. That's why we're supposed to go through 9 cantos of Bhagavatam before we come to the 10th canto. We should understand that Krishna's pastimes are fully spiritual. They're not material. They're not like the affairs of ordinary people, the goings on, the dealings of ordinary people. Keen discrimination between matter and spirit. This is called vivek. It's a very good word, but it got misappropriated, so we don't use it much. But it's actually a very important word, the discrimination between that which is material and that which is spiritual. And a lot of that has got to do with attitude and understanding. We can see everything as spiritual if we have a fully spiritual outlook. Vishvang, what is the world? What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Dukhalayam ashashvatam. This world is temporary and miserable. But then if we get the Karuna Kataksha, the merciful glance of Lord Chaitanya, then Vishvam Purna Sukhayati. We see the whole world as blissful. Everything is blissful. Why? Because we see Krishna everywhere. But then again, we have to discriminate between spirit and matter. Otherwise, we can't preach in this world. That's why the topmost devotee who sees Krishna everywhere, he sees everyone as a devotee except himself, but he has to preach to benefit others. He has to come to the platform of discriminating between the Lord, his devotees, the innocent, and the envious. So there is discrimination. There's spiritual outlook means that in one sense we see everything as spiritual, but we also have to discriminate between spirit and matter. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavi hasini shuni chaiva svabhage cha pandita samadarshinah. The pandit, he sees the dog eater, the cow, the elephant, he sees them all the same, in one sense. That doesn't mean he goes to milk a tiger, because cows and tigers, there's all the same, right? Or Srila Prabhupada gave the example, you don't embrace a tiger, because they're all spiritual living beings. There is a difference. We have to know how to apply this understanding. Just like it's understood that the first lesson of spiritual life is that we're not the body. We're not the body. We're not men. We're not women. On the spiritual platform, we're all the same. We're not the body, but we are in the body. And as long as we're in the body, we have to maintain discrimination between the bodies. And the psychology and the roles prescribed for them. Otherwise, if we artificially try to come to the platform of seeing everything the same, samatvam yoga uchate, seeing everything the same is yoga, but at the same time we have to maintain discrimination. And even in spiritual existence, there is a difference between male and female, gopas and gopis, and there wouldn't be any lila without that. So all these subtle points have to be understood. Of course, now we're discussing Krishna lila. And when we come to Krishna Lila, 10th canto, it's understood. We've been through all this philosophical discussion. And now we come to the 10th canto and enjoy. Smaranti Nandanti. Hear about, sing about, remember, and enjoy. But then after the 10th canto comes the 11th canto. Okay, now let's have a revision course. So what is the theme of this talk? It's a rambling talk. Anyway, we should go on hearing about Krishna, one way or the other. Very exalted association here. One good thing about these meetings, even though we discuss so many contentious points, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, we all come together in the morning and have some discussion about Bhagavatam, about Krishna. And that should really help us to keep grounded in what we're all here to do. We're here for Shrinvanti, Gayanti, Grinanti, Abhikshna, Smaranti, Nandanti, for chanting about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, remembering Krishna. This is our real aim of life. So, Nrisimhananda Prabhu, even though I disagree with you about almost everything, see you in Golok. You're going first, probably, and you make a place for me, because I won't go without your mercy. So please forgive all my offenses. And I'm not guaranteeing I won't make more, but I'll try to avoid it. Hare Krishna. Yeah, okay.
Maharaj, wonderful lecture. I'm going to be...
Everyone says that. It's a formality.
And formalities are important. I will be hanging on to your dhoti on the way back home, if I can. But I do want to...
I don't wear a dhoti.
Okay.
It's not a dhoti.
Okay. I'll be wearing onto your cloth.
Vedic language.
Yeah. I'll be hanging on to... I'll be hanging on to whatever I can grab onto. So I have a little familiarity with the Arista Sura, because in our film script that we've developed, we have a character called Arista Dev. And so I had done some research on the meaning of Arista. Actually, it means something in Sanskrit, at least from the dictionaries, like imperishable, perfect.
Oh, it can mean that also, yeah, I suppose.
And it is perfect in the sense that a demon will come in the form of the symbol of religion, a bull. That it's the ultimate bait and switch for the devotee who will naturally want to worship the bull. So in this case, as you mentioned about so aptly about the Kali Chelas that exist, we don't know all the time what's in front of us, because appearances can be extremely deceiving. And we can only rely on the mercy of the spiritual master and the holy name to make our way through that labyrinth. And when they make films, for example, of Krishna pastimes, it also is very misleading, because they're presenting these films, as nicely done as they are, as mythology. And that consciousness seeps into the minds of the viewers, because they're pretending to present pure Krishna pastimes or pure pastimes of Rama. But in fact, there's every chance that a person will be thinking, oh, I will become Rama, I will become Krishna, I will become like that. Because this lives not in the idea that it's truth, but that it's some kind of fiction. And Prabhupada came to destroy this idea, as you mentioned earlier, that we accept the Vedic version, we accept the reality of the spiritual world as it's described by the great acharyas and self-realized souls. So it's very important, from my point of view, at least, to be extremely careful not to watch those kinds of presentations where the source of those presentations is not that of a person who understands who is Krishna, what is the reality of the spiritual world. What to speak of watching or becoming associated with fiction such as Harry Potter. I mean, it's just over the pale, because it's very polluting to the consciousness.
There's a very popular genre now of retold Hindu mythology. The Ram Leela retold with Sita as a warrior fighting, for instance. One is Amish and the other is Devdutt Patnaik, and they write fictionalized, they completely recast the whole story, and that's very, very dangerous. People like it. What we like is can be very, very dangerous.
So therefore, I will beg to differ with you that there are actually at least one thing that we agree upon.
Oh, there are many things.
Good.
I mean, we wouldn't be sitting here chanting Hare Krishna if we didn't.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. I appreciate very much your dedication to the Prabhupada's mission.
Same to you.
Jai.
That's it. Anyone else? Questions, comments, protests?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much for the wonderful class. Maharaj, I have a question related to punctuality.
Okay, well, if you have a question related to punctuality, we only have 3 minutes left. And it's nothing to do with the class. So, any questions about the class? I was just thinking yesterday, I hadn't seen you. I see you.
Hare Krishna. Swamiji.
Ingrezi.
I will speak in English also. That if the demon dress themselves as a devotee, they put a tulsi mala, kanthi mala, and put a nice tilak, and by seeing them, people remember, they say Hare Krishna, and they also say Hare Krishna. If then can Yamraj punish them, or they can be saved?
Yeah, if the demon pretends to be a devotee, he might end up being a devotee. There are cases like that we heard in Soviet Russia, where, and just after the fall of the Soviet regime, where KGB men would try to infiltrate the devotees and they end up becoming devotees. So it's possible. But it may be that some people have such a wicked mentality that it's just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about Praudhamaya in the Dham, Navadvip Dham. They're living in the Dham, but they're not really in the Dham at all by their attitude. Or they keep their deity for making money for, or they, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so much against this, that they recite the Bhagavatam for earning money to support their sense gratification, their family, all this. So it takes someone with very sharp intelligence and spiritual understanding to see. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati pointed it out. Many people said, oh, he's making Vaishnava parad. These people, they're studying, they're reading the Bhagavatam, they're gurus. They come from famous families of gurus. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati pointed out that no, it's not proper. They're taking the Bhagavatam recitation as a means of livelihood. It's not proper. Okay, last point, then we'll finish.
Yes. It is explained in the Mahabharata that you can teach and you can learn. You have some knowledge, you can teach him. And in exchange of knowledge, you get a knowledge. Second, you serve the person and you receive the knowledge. And third, the persons whom you are giving knowledge, you are eligible to get service from him as a money also, dhan also. Because you want to give Bhagavatam class, then 365 days, you have to remain alive. If nobody give anything, how can one be remain alive and do the service?
All right, thank you. Hare Krishna. We'll finish that. Vancha kalpataru vyascha kripasin hivyavacha patita alam pavadehyo vaishyadehyo namorabha bante nitaya chunakandadehyo
patita
alam pavadehyo. Hey, Sadhana Sapra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.